Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
Now, listeners, recently there's been a spate of rather turgid films dealing with the American occupation troops in Japan.
You know, the complications that crop up when the handsome GI falls in love with the pretty Japanese girl, but regulations forbid them to see each other.
Yeah. Well, it occurred to us, didn't it, Bentley?
Just now, yes.
That this basic situation, how does a soldier in an occupied country solve his romantic problems? Well, this can be no new thing. Why, it probably cropped up as far back as the Roman occupation of Britain.
Shall we see if it did?
It is England in the year 53 BC, the second year of the Roman occupation. Julius Caesar has set up his headquarters in the ancient city of Londinium, or as it is now called, Colchester. But life is not easy for the conquering legions. Caesar's discipline is strict and fraternization with the natives is forbidden. At this very moment, Caesar himself stands frowning before a section of his Praetorian Guard. At his side stands a trembling, white-faced Colchester girl.
Praetorian Guard, attentionicus! Quite rigidus everywhere. Chests out, thumbs down the seam of the toga. Feet at an angle of XXXXV degrees. Now answer your name, smartly. Flavius?
Adsum.
Parsimonious?
Adsum.
Supercilious?
Adsum.
Bilious?
Adsum.
Lascivious?
Adsum.
Right. Identification parade, hand at ease.
All right, miss.
Now tell me, which man was it?
I ain't gonna say.
You ain't going to say? Do you realize who I am? Imperial Caesar, Big Julie. So out with it, my girl. Come on, who was the man? Every one of them answered Adsum. Which one actually did?
Oh, no, sir. No, you've got it all wrong, sir. Honest, I don't see why all the fuss. All me and the soldier did was go for little strolls of an evening.
All you did? My edict expressly forbade any of the native talent to nip out with a Roman in the Goman. I don't know how one of my officers could fancy any of you. Look at yourself. All tufts of sheepskin and splashes of blue woad. You look like a half-used paint roller.
Why don't you leave the girl alone?
I heard that. Step forward, that centurion. You, that soldier with the bustle. Step forward.
It is not a bustle, sir. It is my shield.
And why are you wearing your shield hung at the back?
The man marching behind me had knobbly knees, sir.
I see.
This indeed was the knobbliest Roman of them all.
Hello! Take the Roman Mickey out of me. I must say I'm surprised at you, Cato Lascivius, a son of one of our most patrician families. Why, your brother Horatio represented his country at bridge. Why should such as you side with this barbaric bint?
Because, mighty Caesar, this no fraternization rule is a bad thing. Soldiers need feminine company. Look what happened to our unit dancers since we've been here. Having to dance with each other. What soldier wants to bump his sergeant's daisy?
My edict stands. No Latin fratin.
That night, anxious to avoid prying eyes, the Colchester maiden awaited her lover on the roof of a village hut. She peered down fearfully at every passing shadow.
Cato! Psst! Cato! Psst! Cato, dear!
Who goes there? Halt, or I faint!
Cato! Cato, I'm up here, on the roof. Quick, here, let me pull you up. Oh, I never realized you were so heavy.
Perhaps I should have let go of the horse. Oh, Ethelfrida,
Ethelfrida, it's so good to see you.
Oh, kiss me, Cato. You Romans, you're so wonderful. You're so much more fun than Saxon boys. Cato, did you mean what you said? You really will take me back to your ranch in Rome?
Well, it's not going to be easy. The old man's clamped down. I only got out this evening by telling him I'd got 3 punctures in my chariot.
And had you?
In a way, I sat down on my trident. But if Caesar ever sees us together again, I am a Roman soldier. If I disobeyed an order, I couldn't look myself in the face again. And a man's got to be able to look himself in the face.
Oh, yes, for shaving and that.
Precisely.
Then this is goodbye.
Yes, my little Colchester sweetheart. Goodbye. Oh, what is that phrase you use in your language?
Buzz off.
Buzz off, my sweetheart. One last kiss.
So there you are.
Oh, Caesar.
So this is what you do when I forbid you to go for walks with the natives. Chat on a hot tin roof. All right, men. See, I have some supporters out there. Up there and seize them.
Caesar passes sentence.
I will do it in English. I can never pass anything in Latin. Cato Lascivius, acting centurion.
Sir.
Ethelfrida Wilkinson, Colchester native.
Sir.
Can you show any reason why I should not sentence you to serve in the galleys as long as you both shall live? And even a bit longer if you can keep going?
We shall submit to our fate, O Caesar. But this law of yours is a bad law. The conquering Romans should mingle with my people. Because from the union of the two races may come a new race. A race wherein the ancient civilization of Rome will combine with the vigor and simplicity of the Anglo-Saxon. And this new race can one day grow so wise and strong that all the peoples of the world will look to this island for guidance. For that new race will be the British!
Now, what were you saying, dear, while the orchestra was playing?
Oh, really? I'm not going through that lot again.
Caesar, take arm!
It's Flavius Claudius. Why the sword, Claude?
A report from the outpost. A great gathering of rebels surging down Watling Street.
Great balls of fire! The Scots! And we haven't built the bypass yet. I knew that Hadrian's Wall wouldn't keep them out. They must have tucked up their kilts and paddled round the end.
Nay, sir, these are English.
English?
4,000 of them all shouting, Romans, go home. And they are led by Boadicea.
Boadicea? Isn't she the woman who's got that rather ostentatious chariot? The one with knives on the hubcaps?
That's her. Mows down all who stand in her way.
Blooming woman drivers. And there's 4,000 of a willer, eh? And all I got is 400, outnumbered X to 1. Oh, we just can't stop her.
Oh, yes, you can.
Ethelfrida, what are you saying? How can great Caesar possibly stop the rebellion?
By letting me tell my people that the Romans have changed their policy.
What?
Let me announce that you've allowed Cato and me to become engaged. That'd show them you're our friend.
Very well. I concur. Go you straight to Watling Street. And the best of British luck.
I go.
With no orchestral accompaniment.
No. Goodbye, Cato.
Buzz off. Caesar, I never dreamed it would end like this.
Neither did I. The great Caesar gives in to a mere girl. I came, I saw, I conquered. Oh, Lascivius. When the news of this reaches Rome, what is the Senate going to say?
Never mind the Senate.
What do you mean, my brave Lascivius?
What's my wife going to say?
Well, hello, darling. Is that you, darling? How about a date tonight?
Sorry, honey. Save your money,
because I've got a date that's right tonight.
Well, goodbye, bye, bye. There's more than just one apple on a tree. I'll fit myself a gorgeous peacherino before I put a bullet through my beano.
I'm grateful to that guy for leaving me.
Gonna find a prettier pigeon and I'll give that little dove all my love, all my love, all my love. I have to laugh each time I think about her. She thinks that I could never live without her.
They have a very fun mean notion that I'm gonna cry an ocean because I found myself another guy. I'm grateful to that guy for leaving me.
Gonna find a prettier pigeon and I'll give that little dove all my love, 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 all my love.
Time, gentlemen, please finish your glasses. Come on, Mr. Glum, it's closing time.
Oh, dear.
Here, what's that you've been reading so intense?
Oh, you've noticed as how I've been reading, have you, Ted? This is what the stars forecast, Ted.
Oh, no.
It's me horoscope, you know. It's what the week holds in store for me and me loved one.
Hey.
Here's me. Here.
Yeah.
You see, it says, under torso, the bull.
That
it says here about me, it says, beware a dire calamity befalling the one nearest and dearest to you. The one nearest to... Ron. Oh, no. A dire calamity to my Ron. Ted, you know what that can mean, don't you?
What?
They're going to give him a job.
Yes, you know, but
all
this...
the same, I got a presentiment, you know, Ted. You know where my Ron and his Eth went out for a walk tonight? You know where they're walking tonight?
No.
They're in the park.
Oh, no.
What do they want to walk there for? All that grass and stuff, it's unnatural. If you want to have a walk, you should use what nature intended, good concrete pavements. Ted, I feel it in my bones. Something's happened to my boy.
Now, look, you're getting all upset over nothing. Hello, hello, look who's coming.
Oh, lummy, the law. evening, officer.
Evening, sir.
What is it, constable?
I wonder if you could tell me where I could find a Mr. Glum.
What
name?
Glum.
Glum. Oh, is it in reference to certain unofficial modifications to the coin box of a domestic gas meter?
No, sir, not that.
Oh. Well, is it some hysterical allegation lodged by a fat blonde lady in regard to the gentleman standing behind her last Saturday on the Bakerloo line?
No, sir. No, it's not that either, sir.
I see. Well, officer, I am Mr. Glum.
Oh, well, in that case, sir, I'm very sorry to have to tell you this. It's about your son.
My son?
There's been an accident, sir. An accident in the park.
Oh,
if you'll just jump in the car, we'll take you to him.
Oh, dear.
Oh, Ron. Try not to move, dearest. Oh, you're going to be all right. Have you got any pain?
No, eh?
Well, have you got a sort of numb feeling?
No, eh?
Well, what have you got?
I've got me head stuck through the railing.
Yes, I know. I know that, dearest. Oh, what a dreadful thing to happen to you, to get lodged fast between two iron bars. Crouching with your body here in the park, and and your dear head out there in the main road.
I think I'm very lucky, eh?
Lucky?
Well, it's better than having myself the other way round. At least this way I can watch the trolley buses. And say hello to people.
You always were wonderful in a crisis, Ron. But it just doesn't seem conceivable. If your head went through the bars so easily, why won't it come out again?
Well, there's a scientific reason for that, eh?
Well, what's that?
It's stuck.
But you can't stay stuck all night. Bent over in that position, your back will soon ache like anything. Oh, can't you slide your neck down between the bars and then lie flat? I'm sure you'd be more comfy.
Right, are we?
Oh, careful now. There. There. That feel better?
Oh, much nicer. I can rest my chin on the pavement.
Oh, officer. Can't you go any faster, officer? Go on, go on. You can shoot them lights. There's no ruddy coppers about. I'm getting out of my mind here. At least tell me what's happened to my Ron.
You'll see for yourself in just a minute. Ah, there's the park gates now, so we should see him just along this stretch of road.
I can't see any.
What's the matter? What's the matter?
Oh, just up against the railing. There's a head lying on the pavement.
Now, steady, Mr. Clump, steady.
Oh, it's my Ron's head. Oh, it's happened. The thing I've dreaded all these years. How many times have I warned him? Don't throw that sharp-edged boomerang in the dark. Oh, I must go to him. Oh, my son. Oh, my boy, my poor decapitated boy. Speak to me. Where's the rest of you?
It's in the park with Ed, Dad.
Hey?
It's all right, Ron, now, dearest. Your father's here to comfort you.
You stupid cloth-headed lump! What do you want to stick your head through the railings for?
It was just a whim, Dad.
What do you mean, a whim?
Well, what he wanted to do, Mr. Glum, was play I Spy.
Play I Spy?
Oh, you remember it, Dad. We played it to amuse ourselves at Aunt Lily's funeral. I spy with my little eye something beginning with...
But you can't play that in the dark.
I know that, Dad. I'm not a fool. That's just why I pushed my head through the railing so I could eye spy something up the main road. Where the lights are. What else could I have done?
Well, I mean... Didn't it occur to you just to look over the top of the reins?
It's easy enough to be clever after the event.
And to think of all the terrible things that have been passing through my mind. Ron, just you pull your head out of there this minute.
He can't, Mr. Glum. He's tried and tried. Can't you see where his ears are chafed?
Well, there must be some way of releasing him. Look, get your head up off the pavement. You look soppy down there. I can't get at it down there. Come on, up to me waist level. That's better now. Well, obviously, if I can exert sufficient pressure on the top of his head, I can push it through.
Be careful, Mr. Glass.
I won't hurt him. I'll just put my foot against his skull and I'll shove out.
Do it. Stop it, Dad. Who knows?
No, it's no good. Sole of my boot keeps slipping off his air oil. We've got to give that head is a bit more of a sort of a thrust, a powerful sort of a sudden shove. I got it. Officer,
sir.
Swing your car around, put in reverse, then rev up and back like Billy O'Neill.
Oh, Mr. Glum, no. You're flat and wrong.
Well, at least I am being constructive. I'm not just standing there quivering in the shrubbery like coming to the garden, Maud.
I'm over here because I'm sure this side is the much easier side at which to release him from. Over here, you've got something to pull.
I think she's right, sir. You would do better from over there. What I'll do, I'll nip back the station and see if I can get a hacksaw.
No, hey, don't let him saw me head off. I won't do it again, Dad.
He's
I promise I'll never...
saw your head off. You'd look even soppier without it. Stop your noise. Now, the officer's gone now, then, Ed. You give me a hand climbing over these railings.
All right.
I'll step up on here, and I'll... Careful with me, Ed, careful. There's spikes on top of these railings, and, well, I don't want to press the point. What? Hey! Oh, for heaven's sake, Ron, hold your head steady. Want me to transfix myself? Easy now.
There.
Right. Oh. Now, then, let's get busier.
Yes.
Right, here's the plan. You take his left leg.
Yes.
I'll take the right leg. When I give the word, pull backwards.
Right.
With all your might. And ready?
Yes.
Now, then, take the strain. Heave! Oh, dear. It's no good. It's just no good pulling anymore. And half we've been at it pulling here.
Well, one more try, Mr. Clark.
No, no more. Three times we've ended up 20 yards away in the bushes, holding his trousers in our hands.
No,
it's embarrassing, I know. Can't you see it's not doing his neck any good either? This is a fine art of doing it.
Poor Dad. You know, I feel I'm partly to blame.
Ron, you mustn't reproach yourself. I think you've been magnificent, sweetheart. I give you my word we'll get you free.
Will you, eh?
Yes, dearest.
You're not just pulling my leg.
You know, we're going about this the wrong way somehow. He's just jamming at the jawbone every time.
No.
Look, you know what our trouble is? I think we're too tired. You can't tackle problems like this when you're over-exhausted.
No.
I tell you what, we'll go home and have a night's sleep. I'll meet you here in the morning when the brain's clearer.
What? Leave Ron's head hanging out all night? Oh, I couldn't sleep.
Why not? We know where he is. Not like he's wandering about the streets. Come on, Ed, I'm dropping on you.
Mr. Gilbert,
no arguments. Going. Come on. Goodbye, Ron.
No, Dad. Don't leave me. No, Dad. Dad! You haven't kissed me goodnight.
Keep on the path, Ed. If we're lucky, we'll catch a trolley bus going to the depot.
Dad!
Ron!
Ron! You've got free!
Ron, how did you do it?
I just lifted the left-hand railing up.
You mean that the left-hand railing can be lifted right clear?
Of course, Dad. How do you think I got my head in?
You mean you knew that all the time?
Yes, Dad.
And you let us heave and haul and worry and...
Why didn't you tell us, Ron?
I never realized it would work for getting my head out.
Oh, God, if only there was some method of getting a divorce from a son. Ron, don't you realize the trouble you've caused? Here's that police car coming back, you see. He's pulling up at the bit of the railings where he left you with your head. Oh, I'm not telling that copper you've been wasting his stupid time. You can tell him.
Oh, Dad. Mr. Policeman, I'm sorry I wasted your stupid time. I don't want any help now, thank you.
Well, I don't know. All right, sir.
Good night.
Yes. Goodbye, Mr. Policeman.
Now then, look at your fiancé.
What?
Look at him. Just come over and look at the silly born perisher.
I know what you've come over here for, Dad. It's because I pushed me head through the railings again to talk to the police car.
Partly. It's partly that, Ron. It's partly that.
And now you want to see the clever way I just lift the left-hand railing out and get free.
Well, no, Ron. I want to see whether you really can play the game I spy. Ron, I spy with my little eye something beginning with IADPOTRYDL.
I don't know that, Dad. What does it stand for?
It stands for it's a different part of the railings, you dim lump!
Dad, I'm stuck! You're stuck. Hey,
Oliver Benowitz and the BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley, Professor Jimmy Edwards, and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton and the keynotes. Frank Muir and Dennis Norton wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and...